Hello everyone, Anthony Crudelli here from the Lodestar Trading Community, and welcome to Futures Radio, sponsored by CME Group. We have a great show for you today, as we're going to be hearing from the CEO of Tradidium, a U.S.-based prop firm. But before I bring on today's guest, I want to thank my friend Jim Yurio for coming on our show last week to discuss the latest ECB meeting. And Jim gave us great analysis on what he expects to happen in the U.S. dollar, gold, and the S&P. Now, you can catch that episode on our website, LodestarTC.com. Click on the Futures Radio tab, or you can, of course, check out our iTunes podcast. Now, it's great to have my friend Michael Creedon on the show today. He is the CEO of Tradidium, a U.S.-based prop firm. Now, today, Michael and I are going to discuss, what is a prop firm? How do you become a prop trader? We're going to talk about yield curves. We're going to get a little bit technical, and Michael's going to talk to us about what he is seeing in the yield curve right now. We're going to touch base a little bit on WTI crude oil and maybe a little bit on natural gas. Without further ado, we have Michael Creedon on the line. Michael, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks, Anthony. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Oh, it was great to meet you. You know, you and I actually met in Naples, Florida, not too long ago in November when we were at the GFLC. I mean, how about that event?
That was a fantastic event. Unbelievable speakers, and yeah, it's just a beautiful venue. It's great to be there.
Wasn't that great? Yeah, it was great talking to you. And you know, you're the CEO of Tradidium. It's a prop firm. First thing I want to do is give us a little explanation on what a prop firm is. I know a lot of our listeners probably know what it is, but some of them don't. So let's start there, and then we'll talk. Also, give us a little bit of a background on yourself and what you guys actually do at Tradidium.
Sure. Prop firms are very prominent at the CME. I think that they account for more than half the volume at the exchange, somewhere around half the volume. So they're very prominent. These are what are also known as market-making firms sometimes. And you know, one of the key distinctions about a proprietary trading firm is we do not take outside capital. We're not a hedge fund. So it's just the owners and the employees' capital trading for their own account. And, you know, and that's the distinction with the hedge fund. And as I said, we're very active. One of our main areas of activity is the U.S. yield curve, which is, you know, the CME is a dominant player in that space. And so, you know, that's it. Our objective is to try out and go out there and trade well and keep growing our business. That's what we've been trying to do. This is our 13th year as a company. So
you guys are primarily focusing on trading on the yield curves, fixed income, and I know that you guys trade other things as well. Give us some idea. I get this question all the time. People are always like, you know, Anthony, I hear about prop trading. How do I become a prop trader? Talk to us about that.
Sure. Yeah, I think there's quite a few firms in the proprietary trading space. I think there's probably a couple hundred. What I encourage people to do that ask me that question, you know, I'll say, look, just Google the term, Chicago proprietary trading firm, prop firm, whatever, and see what you come up with. And oftentimes you'll be able to find lists that'll have the names of the firms, and then links to these firms, and these firms will, you know, you can apply online. I think the CME also does a very good job of being a resource. They have an educational center, and there's some, you know, so I think it's, you know, if you just, you know, try to use social media or talk to people in the industry, they can usually probably open doors and make contacts for you. Chicago and New York probably being the two places that are most prevalent with prop firms at the moment, I would say.
So what are some of the requirements? I mean, how educated do you have to be? What are something that you guys are looking for in terms of an individual, in terms of education?
Sure.
Give us a little insight on that.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think what we see at our firm, but also probably other firms are seeing, a large concentration of traders with math degrees, computer science degrees, programming skills, maybe finance or math backgrounds. Those are pretty prevalent. However, they're not requirements. I have a lot of contacts, including myself, that have liberal arts degrees. For what it's worth, I don't think we've talked about this at our firm. You know, college degrees are not mandatory either. I mean, turns out that a lot of people have college degrees, but by no means are they prerequisites. They're not at our firm. I think in that regard, the barriers to entry are pretty low, quite frankly. I'm not saying it's easy to find a spot, but given the fact that there's hundreds of firms that do this, I think for someone that's looking for an opportunity, you know, put their name out there, they should be able to find an opportunity.
The bottom line is, if you want to trade and you want to trade for a prop firm, you knock on some doors, you meet some people, you shake some hands, you let people, you know, get a sense of who you are, and, you know, and that's how you step in. I mean, it's just like with me. I started on the pit. I didn't have a college education,
right. You
know, and I became a trader at 21 years old. And you know, you know, it's just, you knock on the doors, you want something bad enough, you'll find a way. So, well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Let's dig into some of the things that you guys are doing at Tradidium,
sure.
You know, yield curves. So first of all, some of our listeners probably don't even know what a yield curve is. So let's start off with you explaining what a yield curve is, and then give us some insight on how your firm approaches trading the yield curve.
Sure. Yeah, I usually do this, and I have a board in front of me, so I can draw something. I'm happy to. The yield curve is a pretty important concept in finance. You know, I mean, you think about it. Where does money in this country come from? Well, it comes from the Federal Reserve, the so-called bank window, or the Fed window. And they lend money to banks, and they want the banks to take that money and lend it to people like you and me to buy cars and buy homes and borrow money to start businesses and so forth and so on. So it turns out, you know, the Fed lends money at a pretty cheap rate, especially now. I mean, they've been lending it for 0 to 1/4 basis point for 7 or 8 years. They just raised it to 25 to 50 basis points. I think it's around 33 right now. And so then banks receive that money, and then they lend it out. You know, the theory of a yield curve is it's less expensive to borrow money in the short term than over the long term in a normal environment. You know, so a 2-year yield note, will the interest rate will be, I think it's around 90 basis points at the moment, somewhere in that neighborhood, maybe 95 or 85 basis points. I don't know exactly. But then in the 30 year, is somewhere around 290 basis points. So you can, let's just say it's 90 at the 2-year and 290 at the 30 year. So you've got 200 basis points, and you can almost plot this out on a yield, you know, plot it out and draw a line between the 90 and 290 and say, okay, that's two. The yield differential between 230s right now is 200 basis points. And you know, maybe it's somewhere around that. And then, you know, over time, speculators will, like our firm and other firms, will, you know, trade, debating, well, is it going to 190 or 150, or is it going to go out to 250 or 300? You know, and that's – but remember, along the yield curve, you've got the 5-year, the 10-year, the now the ultra 10, the ultra bond, so there's a – as well as all the Eurodollar contracts. So there's a lot – there's a lot of trading opportunity along that yield curve. I don't know if that's helpful, but that's kind of our universe is all these little points across the yield curve.
So what is the most common curve that you're trading? Is it 230?
I'd say it's probably the 10s, 30s or 5s, 10s are very, very popular trades in the industry. They're very common.
Okay. So let's get a little technical here.
Yeah.
So you're trading, you know, your traders are watching this every day.
Yeah.
What is the yield curve telling you right now for the economy?
Yes.
Also talk a little bit about what it's potentially telling us for rates and maybe even the stock market.
Sure. Well, you know, this year started out, it's been kind of an interesting year. I mean, I think the theme that we see is that, you know, people are looking at the Fed and they're asking the question, what is the Fed going to do? In December, the Fed raised interest rates, and the market's perception was that they would raise interest rates, the Fed funds rate, 3 or 4 times this year. That the market shifted quickly to a position that the Fed's only going to go maybe 1 time this year because of things like a slowdown in the global economy, China problems, commodity problems, and all these negatives, certainly low inflation, European problems, including the immigration story. And as people dial down Fed expectations, what typically happens is that money moves to the short end of the yield curve and the curve steepens. And so that's kind of what we've been discussing as a firm. Well, if the Fed's going to be on hold, theoretically, the curve should steepen. And so that's kind of been something that we've been talking about a lot. But as you know, markets are two-sided and they can shift very quickly. But, you know, if you believe that the Fed's going to be on hold this year, maybe only move once, you probably would be looking to buy parts of the yield curve.
So are you guys not using any sort of technicals for this? Is it all fundamental? Is it all just research? And is it basically, it sounds to me like it's, hey, it's reading the news and listening to the Fed. Is that really it? Or is there anything else that you guys are doing to potentially get into a trade?
I have more of a personal bias towards fundamental, but I think we have plenty of traders who are technical. I mean, look, I could probably show you right now through, let's say, the 10-year yield, which has been, right now it's around 2%. I mean, I would argue that if we break out of, let's say, 190 to the downside or 210, I could just tell you if we break out of those ranges that the markets maybe change their Fed philosophy. You know, the fundamentals feed right back to the technicals. And so, but you got to look at both. Yeah, I mean, if a month from now we're trading 230 in the 10-year yield, then I will tell you that, you know, the Fed idea that I just explained is the market's changed. And so, but yeah, absolutely. Technicals are a huge part of what we do, both from, in terms of outright price, but also we look at the technicals of the spreads themselves. While I'm on there, just to mention, butterfly trading is a big part of what we do. And just not to get too far into it, but for example, like a big trade in the treasury space, you might have someone buy 5 years and sell 10 years, and that's what's known as the fight. And then they may turn around and sell the 10-year and buy the bonds. So they're long, short, long, the short's in the middle, and that's a butterfly position. Butterfly trading and yield curve trading is a very big part of what, I mean, not just the Tradedum, but that's kind of an industry standard as well. So there's a lot of technical analysis with spreads and butterflies as well.
What would you be looking at to happen in the yield curve, in one of the yield curves that you watch, that would potentially signal something is really wrong with the economy and maybe start affecting the stock market?
Well, right. I mean, the big thing to look for, and I don't think there's any real threat of this happening anytime soon, but it could. I mean, if the yield curve ever goes inverted, that's a problem. And right now,
Explain to everyone what inverted means.
Let's talk about that. The 10-year yield right now is about 2%, and the 30-year, like I said, is about 290. If the 10-year yield is ever higher than the 30-year yield, which has happened before, and it can happen. So let's say 10-year yields drift down to 250, and at the same time, 30-year yields go up to 235. And if that happens, or anything like that happens, that's typically bad for the economy. It indicates a recession's coming, and it's bad for the stock market. Now, again, that's not a current scenario, but if you ever see a yield curve, and we saw that in 2007 and 2008, curve was inverted, and that was a huge signal. It should have been a huge signal to equity players to sell equities, because if you just think about, I mean, just think about what the market's saying to you. I mean, Tony, if I say, hey, can I borrow $100 for you? I'll pay back. I pay you back tomorrow. Yeah, just whatever. Okay, borrow $100, pay you back tomorrow. Can I borrow $1,000 and pay you back in 50 years? You might say, well, we might have to have a conversation about interest. Think about it. I mean,
yeah,
right?
No, exactly.
I want you to pay
me
some interest. But if it's the other way around, where people are demanding more payment in a shorter time frame, then what are they saying to you? I'm afraid that you can't pay me back. And that's what happened in 07 and 08. There was a credit crisis. No one had the cash to pay each other back. And so in an inverted yield curve, there's real fear. That's what the market's saying. There's fear that there's not enough liquidity in the system. And if there's not enough liquidity in the system, again, we all know what happened in 07 and 08. And that can get very, very dangerous and, contagious. So if we started to see that environment where, let's say, for example, let's say 2-year yields go to 150 and 5-year yields go to 135, that would be a signal that, there's a real problem in the economy and the equity market could get really, really hurt. So that's something we would look for.
Gotcha. Well, let's dive in a little bit into the water cooler topic of every office of
sure.
Everyone talks about crude oil, right?
Yeah.
Every neighbor I have, what do you think of crude oil? It's just everywhere, right? So
sure.
You guys are also active in WTI.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on the crude oil market right now?
No, it's like you said, and I think even at our firm we've got a difference of opinions. I think one side of the camp says that there's too much supply, not enough demand. Everybody knows what happens in that environment. Prices go lower. And that's what we've seen over the last couple of years, prices just going pretty much lower almost all the time. I just point out, and I emphasize, I think there's a real sort of political risk of, I mean, if OPEC and the Saudis decide to go the other way and cut production prices could go a lot higher very, very quickly. I also think that another thing to look at, and people like Mohammed El-Aryan and many, many others have talked about this, with all these energy companies in trouble going out of business, there's production's going to go down, you know, and so that's another risk. And like any, so I, look, what I'm saying is I think the risks are two-sided. That's great for a trader. You want two-sided risks. And I think the WTI market, as you point out, offers that to people. And, we, you know, just this year alone, I mean, look at this thing. WTI is moving 5 to 10% every single day. For a trader, you can't ask for anything more than that. So, you know, it's just been a great product for people to trade, both at the outright level, at the calendar spread level, and in the options space as well. The options volume on WTI is very, 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 you know, these are very liquid markets. There's plenty for people to do if they're options traders in WTI.
So, yeah, so basically what I'm hearing from you, you think it's a two-sided trade down here now. I mean, we've come all this way
right.
from whatever it was, 100-plus, I think it was, I don't know what the exact high was just a year ago. Let's call it 107, I think it was something like that.
Right.
And then we come all the way down, and we're sitting just hovering above 30. Today we're a little above 32. So
yeah.
What do you think is kind of like a boxed-in range? If you think it's a two-way to trade, where does it start? You know, I know this is a little technical level,
sure.
something I'm interested in as other people. Where do you think all of a sudden it starts feeling like, okay, this thing is going to continue to go higher, maybe the bottom is in, or if it gets too low, all of a sudden it gets really ugly again? Like, kind of give
yeah.
us that boxed in range.
As you know as well as I do, it's just so hard. I mean, the market can always go further than you think you can, but
sure.
I mean, I would off the top of my head, I'd say 20 to 40 bucks, maybe 20 to 45 or 50 bucks this year. I mean, that's a huge range. But can it go to the team? Of course it can. But, you know, it's funny. Isn't this funny? When, you know, everybody seems to be bearish. It seems to be the market sentiment. You know, everybody's bearish, going to $2, whatever. And I always ask people, boy, you got a strong opinion on WTI. So how much were you short when it was at 105? You must have been short a ton, right? How much did you make on that move? So I always sort of chuckle when everybody's got the same idea, because it just seems like when, you know, as traders, we know this, when everybody's got in the world got the same idea, the market has a tendency to go the other way. You know,
and so yeah.
I mean, I want to be very open to the idea that crude can rally. And it can rally a lot. I'm not predicting it, but I want to be open to that idea. I think you have to be.
Understood. No, I agree. Well, as someone who's the CEO of a trading firm, you have to be open to the possibility that anything
Absolutely.
Can happen at any time. That's just
yeah.
reality.
Right.
Well, good stuff, man. I mean, I know that you're a busy man, and you know, it's busy times in the market. So before I let you go, is there anything else you'd like to add to today's show?
You know, not too much. I mean, I think it'll be sort of fun from a trading perspective to watch, you know, with the election this year. I think that's another, you know, which you normally doesn't. Election cycles don't normally move markets, but I think that they're going to be something that's going to be kind of fun to watch, because the economic policies of all the candidates are quite different. And so I think, and plus I also think my personal view is that the Fed will want to get out of the way from around probably from around 4th of July until the election, just because they won't want to be seen as being political. So that's another drag on you know, sort of the Fed, so to speak. So that's just kind of another fun dynamic as we head into the, you know, rest of 2016 here.
I mean, so when you say the Fed gets out of the way, meaning that, you know, a lot of there's so many different predictions out there.
Right.
They're gonna raise twice. They're gonna walk it. They're gonna raise four times. They're gonna walk it back. They're not gonna raise ever again. This was a mistake.
Right.
I'm just, where are you in that camp at all? If you think after July it's going to be nothing?
Well, I think I really firmly believe, I believe there's no chance the Fed would raise rates between Labor Day and the election, because it's just too close to the vote. And so, you know, and I also think it's possible they could move in the summer, June, July, August, but I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, look, if the data is overwhelmingly strong, they'll have to. But if the data is kind of like it is right now, there's no way that they would, they'll want to stand on the sidelines, and meaning they won't want to have move rates. So,
yeah. So you're thinking basically if they don't do anything by, let's call it June,
right.
that nothing is going to happen the rest of this year. That's kind
well,
of what
I mean, they still have a window after the election, and you know, so
yeah.
I would say, you know, as soon as
hey, let's not count out December, man. It happened last year,
that's
right?
That's what I've been telling people, is that they're going to repeat in December. That's what they're going to do this year. They're going to do, and that'll be their 2016. But again, as you know, Anthony, things can change so quickly. I mean, if we get an uptick in inflation or growth in China or Europe, we're going to, you know, he'll have me back on in 3 months. It'll be a completely different conversation. But that's the point. The yield curve is very dynamic, and it can shift suddenly and unexpectedly. And that's where the fun comes.
It is. And you know what's really funny, what's great about the market, and one of the reasons why I love it is because, and this is why I never get too caught up into a story. Does China matter? It matters when it matters. Now, all of a sudden, we rally 100 points straight up in the S&P. Is anybody talking about China? Has anybody talked about it in the last 2 days on the media?
No, exactly.
It's fun. Whispers. But when we rally 100 points, it's just like, it's amazing how that is. It matters when it matters.
Yep.
And then, you know, it's just the way it is. So, well, once again, Michael, you're the man. Thank you for coming on.
Anthony, great show. Thanks for having me. Happy to come back on anytime.
Absolutely. I look forward to having you on in the future. Remember, everyone, go to LodestarTC.com. Get on our email list. This way you'll know when the shows are posted, who the upcoming guests are, and what topics we will be discussing. And I remind you every episode because it's my job too. This show is for you. It's for traders. I want it to be part of your routine. That's why I always ask you to participate. You can participate in several ways. Number one, you can follow me on Twitter, at Anthony Crudelli, and use the hashtag Futures Radio. Post questions, make comments, or suggest shows. Also, even potential guests. Now, if you don't use Twitter, you could always email me, info@LodestarTC.com. Before I let you go, don't forget the podcast on iTunes, and remember the three words that I think about every day before I begin to trade on my machine. Preparation, anticipation, execution. Take care, everyone, and trade well.